Amen. All right, so this morning, or from today, we're looking at our series called Christian Discipleship. Now, I was just thinking about this, and I had so many things in my heart to share. I had the Christian Discipleship and some other things, but I just felt that this was the one that we should be looking at for this season. Now, the main reason why I feel this is so important is because in the book of Matthew chapter 28, Jesus gives us a command there, and it's the main one. It's called the Great Commission. So if you look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, we'll project the scriptures on the board. Can we have the NIV version for this instance? So Jesus gives a command here. He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." So I believe that if we're going to do this, if we're going to disciple nations, which means, you know, different people, then we need to have a really good context of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. Now, but before we do that, before I begin today's session, there's just something that I just want to share, and which is the basis for all this that we're going to be looking at. And that's my favorite scripture, if you guys have been with us for a while. And it's from the book of Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. And he says that, God says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." So Jesus didn't just give that command saying, go and make disciples, and he wanted us to replicate robots. For example, okay, you're a Christian now. Now you go to church on Sunday. Now you go on Wednesday. Now you go on Friday. Go out and talk to people about the faith. No, that is not what the purpose of discipleship is. Do you understand? Everything that we talk about, every message we preach, even when we get people to, you know, become disciples of Christ, is based on one thing. And that one thing is that every individual in this world is precious in the eyes of God. For every individual in this world, God doesn't look at you, look at us just collectively and says, okay, as a church, there you go. God doesn't look at you collectively as a family person or someone who was born in this region of the world and he says, okay, everybody in Bristol, there you go. He does that, but he goes much deeper. And for every single individual in this world, the Bible tells us God has a plan for them. Do you understand? Now, the second thing I want to mention about God's plan is this, from the book of Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, the same Jeremiah, about God's plan. So this is the basis of what we'll be talking about. I just want us to bear that in mind. He says, he was telling Jeremiah, we believe Jeremiah was quite young at this point, and he said, look, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, what is this telling us about God's plan for us? This tells us something about God's plan, and that is the fact that before you were born, before you were even conceived, the Bible tells us that God knew you. God ordained you to be something. So God didn't wait till you were born to say, you know what, Pastor Benson, let me just watch you from the ages of 1 to age 10. Let me see how you behave. At that point, then I'll put a plan together for you. No. He says here, before we were even conceived, before we even came into being at all, he said he formed us. He knew us. That means God had already interviewed you before you were born. He had already had the conversation with you. He had already said, this is what I would like you to do when you go to the earth. Now, let's not mix this up with predestination. Predestination is almost like robotics. It's like programming something and winding that thing up like a toy. and you've programmed it that that toy is going to go forward. You wind that toy up and you release it and it does. Now, that's predestination. No. God does something. He rolls out a plan for you. He doesn't force you and I to choose that plan. And he says, you know what? This is the plan that I have for you. There you go. So we have a choice in the matter. The truth is that God gives every one of us, has a plan for every one of us. But the thing is that we all have free will. And that's where you find that some people fulfill God's plan. Some people go far away from God's plan. And oftentimes when I'm talking to people about God, sometimes people ask me the question, if God exists, Pastor Benson, as you've just told me, why is the world like this? Why is this happening in China? Why is that person killing that person? Why is there so much crime? If God is such a good God, why are all these things happening? And I listen. And the answer is this. God has given every human being a choice. So even though God has a plan for every human being to go in a particular way, we all have choices. Some people will just will neglect that plan entirely and become something completely opposite. Do you understand? But what I'm just saying is that the basis of everything we do as Christians is understanding that God has a plan. So when we meet like this, or when we meet on a Friday for a Bible study, or when we're talking about things about the Bible, the thing I have at the back of my mind as a pastor is, how can this person fulfill God's plan? What is it that God has for this person? That's why sometimes you guys will get some push from me saying, okay, you know what? Just play the keyboard once a month. try. And they're like, no, Pastor, I can't do this thing. And we just say, okay, just give it a go. Suddenly they're playing it every Sunday. So what we're saying is this. Why, this is something funny. Did we do that to somebody in this church? Anyway, so what I'm just saying is this. That's why we do what we do. Now, so I've said God has a plan for us, number one. The other thing I've mentioned is that that plan is eternal. That plan predates your birth. Now, the third thing I want to mention today is this. Someone might say, you know what? Pastor Benson, God has a plan for me, but where I am at the moment, I'm not quite sure I can go back to God's plan for me. I think I'm too far gone. I'm too far away from God's plan. Do you understand what I mean? Some people will be like, I've done so many things that I'm not quite sure God is interested in me any longer. Well, I have news for you. And the news I have for you this morning is this. God says, if you turn back to Him, irrespective of where you are in life, God can still fulfill His plan for you. Do you understand? God can still fulfill His plan for you. Now, how do I know this? There's in the book of Luke, we won't turn there. There was a young man who came to his father. It's a popular scripture it's a popular story we know. It's called the lost son or the prodigal son. And this chap went to his father and said, Father, give me my share of the inheritance. I don't think I need to really explore what life is about. And his father must have been quite sad, I think, and probably said, okay, no problem, if that's what you really want. Probably he tried to convince him. The boy insisted, took part of the property of his dad, went and he went to town. And the Bible now tells us the story of this boy, that he partied, he did everything imaginable, blew his whole inheritance, and something happened to him. The Bible says that he came to himself. And he now realized and said, you know, hang on, what am I doing here? Why am I in this position? Why am I here? And he says, I'm going to go back to my father. Do you understand? And he had rehearsed the story that he was going to tell his dad. You know, he said he planned it. He said, when I get back to my dad, I'll say, you know what? Don't even take me back as your son. Just take me back as a servant. So that, and he had rehearsed all those things. He had. But the Bible tells us in that book, in Luke, that as he was approaching, his father was looking out for him. And the father saw him at a distance and went and hugged him. Why am I saying this? I'm saying this because Jesus was giving us the story to illustrate something. He was giving us the story to illustrate that God is looking out for you and I. God is looking out for every human being, waiting at the door of their heart and telling them, when are you coming back home? When are you going to come back? Do you understand? But for us, sometimes we have this thing about God, and it's like, you know, God, I don't even want to be considered a hyper super Christian. Let me just sneak into church once in a while. Then maybe after a while, you feel good about me. Then I can now, maybe after I've done some good deeds, maybe after I've been nice to that neighbor that throws stuff over my fence and that I get really upset with, maybe once I've been, you guys do that. So maybe once I've done so many things, you know, I've prayed, I've fasted properly, then God, I'm good to go. Then you can accept me. The Bible tells us that when this boy was approaching and his father saw him, his dad didn't even allow him to rehearse all those things that he had planned to say. He said, you know what? He called the servants and he said, come, my son is back. He was lost. And he threw a big party for him. And the boy must have been wondering, hang on, this isn't how the story is meant to go. The story is meant to be, I come back and my father tells me, none of you and none of that from you again. I've had it with you. Sleep your bed in it as you've made it, so on and so forth. He expected a normal human response. Do you understand? He expected a normal human response. The same way you and I would respond to one another. Worse, the same way we would respond to ourselves. So for a lot of us, we're captive to our own incorrect thoughts about what God is going to do to us or how bad we are with God. Do you understand? The same way this young man was. So what am I saying today? I'm saying God's plan for you and I is irrevocable. It is. It is irrevocable. The only thing is this. You and I have a choice in the matter. Whether we want to feel sorry for ourselves till, you know, eternity comes, or whether we want to just take the dust off us and say, okay, you know what? I'm where I am, but I'm going to go back to God today. Do you understand what I mean? So that's the thing that's the thing about God's plan. So I've said this morning that God has a plan for us. I've said that that plan is eternal, that it predicts your birth. I've said that we have a choice in the matter, and even if we've gone far from what we think God's plan is, we can still come back. The fourth thing I want to look at today is this. Someone might say, I've made so many mistakes. It seems like it's... You know what, Pastor Benson? I've made so many mistakes, and I think... You know what? It's just too many. My Bible tells me in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. If we turn there. It says something there. The fourth thing. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It said that, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. So, this is telling us one thing here. It's saying that even though we've made a lot of mistakes in our lives, even though maybe we haven't gone the way we should have, even though things have happened to us that seem like they've been really they've been really bad, or they've been really inconvenient, or they've thrown us off course, so to speak. God says something. He says, I can make things work out for good. Everything. The bad things that have happened to you, the good things that have happened to you, the inconvenient things that have happened to you. He's saying that he can make it work out for good. So what that means is this. If you've gone through a really trying time, if you've had a lot of disappointments, if you've had things that have really bothered your mind and it seems like, you know what, I don't even know what to do again. It's too late for me. God is saying this morning through his word that I can bring good out of everything that has happened in your life, and I can still deliver you to the plan that I have for you. Do you understand? I can deliver you to the plan that I have for you, irrespective of what has happened to you. Now, in Genesis, we don't have to turn there. There was a story of a man, a boy, called Joseph. Maybe we've heard of that story before. And Joseph was a young boy, and he, one day, I think he probably must have been quite young. People estimate that maybe he was about 16 or 17. Said, I had a dream. And he went and he told his brothers, told his parents. And his brothers were like, hang on, what kind of dream is this? Are you, basically, they were not really, really pleased with the dream. And these were things that God showed him. And he was excited at the beginning of his, at the beginning of his life. Wow, God has great plans for me. Wow, so many things that I'm going to do. It's the same way that sometimes we're excited about life. Maybe when we're younger, maybe at a particular point in our lives, we looked at the future and we said, the future for me is fantastic. It's going to be great. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. Then suddenly something happens to this young man. His brothers sell him into slavery, and he's taken to Egypt from where he is. At that point, there was a dark shadow cast over his life. Now, when we talk about slavery in those days, it's not like now where you have mobile phones, you can just, you know, call and say, hang on, I'm in Morocco, you know, I've just been kidnapped. You know, or, you know, there's a means of getting to, you know, or communicating. Or even if the person who's captive doesn't have a mobile phone or can't get, the person might once in a while sneak and get an email, or they say your parents are fine, or this person. In those days, no such thing. So Joseph must have felt terrible. The Bible tells us that in one of the Psalms, the way they took Joseph to Egypt was this. The Bible tells us in one of the Psalms that he was bound hands and feet. It says they bound his feet with fetters. He was bound like an animal. Thrown. And in those days, as a slave, whoever bought you could do anything with you. They could kill you. They could, I mean, it was a terrible thing. And Joseph must have thought, can this really be happening to me, God? God, where are you in all this? Didn't you show me a dream for my future? Why am I going through this? Do you understand? He got to Egypt. The person that bought him was very nice to him. He said, oh, relief. Then after that, he gets thrown in jail because he's accused falsely. And he must have thought again, I mean, what's really happening? I thought I'd got relief here. Another problem. Problem to problem to problem. But you know what? Coming back to this scripture, Joseph understood something. He understood that no matter where he was, no matter what was going on in his life at that point, God was still looking after him. He knew that God could work out every single thing. How do I know this? Because even when Joseph was in prison and all this, the Bible tells us that he was concerned about the well-being of his fellow prisoners. He was asking them, hang on, Jim or Jack. I don't think that was their names, actually. You're looking a bit dull today. Are you all right? This is someone that was sold into slavery. How are you doing? You usually have a big smile on the face. What's happening? Do you understand? Why? He understood something about God. The Bible tells us that years have passed. Maybe about 20 years. And God fulfilled the dreams in his life. So what am I saying? So the fourth thing I'm saying this morning is this. Irrespective of where our lives are at the moment, we need to understand that God can still make things work out for good. Do you understand? We look at the thief on the cross in the Gospels. This thief was on the cross with Christ. And he turned to Christ and he said, "Remember me when you go to your kingdom in heaven." And Christ looked at him and said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Do you understand what I mean? So what am I saying here? I'm saying that God doesn't leave us to our devices if we remember one thing, and that is this, that we should turn to him at any point in our lives, irrespective of where we are. As we turn to him with time, he will fulfill the plans that he has for us. All right. So this morning, I'm going to stop there. So what am I saying this morning? I'm just saying the basis for what we'll be looking at, or should I say the basis for all we do, discipleship, we'll be looking at this in much detail from next week. Discipleship, anything it is that we do, I just want us to understand that we're doing it because we want each and every one of us to fulfill God's plan. So I've said God has a plan for you, you as an individual. That plan was there before you were born. I've also said that, you know, we have a choice in this matter. And irrespective of where we've gone, once we turn back to God, he's there waiting for us with open arms. The last thing I looked at was the fact that irrespective of what has happened to us, irrespective of how life has treated us, God can still make everything work out for good. Amen. So that's just to encourage us this morning. So I'm going to stop there. Next week, Sunday, we'll start looking at discipleship. What does it really mean to be a disciple? Do you understand? But that's the basis of everything we do. So I'm going to ask us this morning to just rise up and we'll pray together.